Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our podcast for the beginning of the pandemic in America. Maybe it's a little too late, but I'm going to connect with Dr. Ray working shortly, but I just want, this is Dave Balog. I am the information officer for 1,000 Moms, building community support for LGBTQ youth in foster adoptive care. And Ray, I know you're listening. We'll talk shortly. I just wanted to read from an article in The Atlantic by David Frum. He says, the worst outcome. If somebody other than Donald Trump were in the White House, the coronavirus would not be unfolding this way. At every turn, President Trump's policy regarding coronavirus has unfolded as if guided by one rule. How can I make this crisis worse? Presidents are not all powerful, especially in the case of pandemic disease. There are limits to what they can do for good or ill. But within these limits, at every juncture, Trump's actions have ensured the worst possible outcomes, the worst possible outcome for public health, the worst outcome for the American economy, the worst outcome for American global leadership. On that note, I want to introduce Dr. Ray Working, our colleague, as per usual, although these times are not per usual, Ray, but thank you for joining us. And Dr. Ray, well, we got to talk about this. You are the host of the long-running Sunday morning show, Homo Radio, on WRPI.org,
right.
But things have changed. Could you explain?
Well, President Shirley Jackson and the administrative staff decided earlier in the week initially that they would suspend all classes for the month of March. And by the end of the day, with events unfolding, they revealed a statement saying that there will be no more in-person classes for the rest of the year. What will happen with graduation, if there is a graduation, is it will involve an assessment following, you know, what transpires between now and then. Well, all of which boils down to the fact that, you know, Homo Radio is broadcast from the RPI campus, WRPI being the station. So once the school, it was closed or sealed, so to speak, so were we. So the earliest that we could do another Homo Radio episode would be the last week in May, and that presumes that the assessment finds it safe to do that. Of course, you know, there's a broad, very broad spectrum of students from hither and yon at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, and I would guess, I'm speculating here, that had something to do with it, plus the scenario where immediately following their traditional spring vacation, everybody would be coming back from multiplicity of locations. So the bottom line is we're not broadcasting until at least the end of May.
Wow. Well, I understand being a whole host of closings basically wherever, to quote Jesus, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, I'm not going to be there. There's schools are closed over here. I understand the Albany Library is closed, and I'm sure the Schenectady Library will follow suit. And it's terra incognita. It's very, very strange. What I wanted to do, what you and I had talked about, was to just try to give out answers as best we know them, because we're all flying by the seat of our pants here, and you and I fall in the high risk category for various reasons, and that has got me concerned, to say the least. And so I want to just read a little more of what David Frum had to say in his article, because I think he gets at the craziness coming from the White House. And of course, we all want things to go well, but it can't go well if we've got indifference and chaos and incompetence coming from the White House. So David Frum goes on to say, Trump's Oval Office speech the other night, March 11th, was the worst action yet in a string of bad actions. Here are the things the president did not say in that speech. He offered no guidance or policy on how to prevent the spread of the disease inside the United States. Should your town cancel its St. Patrick's Day parade? What about theatrical productions and sporting events? Classes at schools and colleges? Nothing. He offered no explanation of what went wrong with the U.S. testing system, nor any assurance of when testing would become more widely available. His own previous promises of testing for anyone who needs it has been exploded as false. So what is true? Nothing. Layoffs are coming, probably on a very large scale, as travel collapses and people hunker down at home. Any word from those about to lose their jobs? Only the vaguest indication that something might be announced sometime soon. And yesterday, there were some answers coming from Nancy Pelosi, who had in the House, who had negotiated a package of economic aid, things such as increased SNAP benefits and paid sick leave for workers who, but only say about 2 weeks worth for workers who are laid off, and other things like that. But at least there was a clear, informed voice speaking on this. And this bill, again, you know, we're touching on the basics here. We urge you, if you're interested in any of these subjects, to go look them up online. But my point here is there is a federal on the way, and it didn't start in the White House. So, Ray, I guess the irony of this all is Trump is getting tested himself because he's been around so many people and who have been exposed to the virus. And I wonder if he'll even come forward, because he's a pathological liar about his health. I wonder if he's positive, if he'll come forward the results. I guess this is the final straw. This is what we paid for when we got Trump. A whole lot of incompetence, as I said, and lying. And it's clear as day, he just doesn't. He's not interested. He doesn't care. And he's got to go. Like, fast. And I guess my point is, you know, because, you know, people are writing and saying that we're weeks behind the curve here. We're weeks. Trump knew, or the White House knew, that the disease was here and it was going to spread. There's just no doubt about it. But you needed to, somebody, as Dr. Fauci said, Anthony Fauci, you know, you need testing. You need, otherwise you're going you're flying blind. You're going without any information about where the disease has hit, how many it's hit, and I mean, they're talking things about needing massive testing kits, which Trump vetoed. Other countries use the World Health Organization testing kit, but Trump, because of his xenophobia, said no. And that means that what happened in China, what happened in Italy, going to be maybe 100-fold more in this country because we're late. And the real problem, Ray, I don't know how you see this, but when people get infected, the cases are going to be astronomical. The hospitals are going to be overwhelmed. And then what? We're going to have to triage the most sick from the at-risk population. And, of course, that's the thing that really scares me, because that's what's happening in Italy right now. They're triaging. It's like a war zone, and they're concentrating on only those most likely to survive. I don't want to think that's going to happen here, but it sure looks like it could. Ray, any thoughts on that?
This is going to go down as one of the most botched presidential happenings ever, I believe. When you actually the facts surface and you brought them up, we are behind the curve, is the phrase. We're woefully behind. Countries that don't have a fraction of our resources. And there's absolutely no, I think the biggest psychodynamic here that's at work is you can't put any credibility in what Trump says. I mean, he came out and said he was tested after he'd already said he hadn't been tested. So even there, it's yet another lie. And I was just getting a post here about Anderson Cooper. You probably saw it. And I felt this for a long time. Excuse me. Stop calling what he says misspeaks or inconsistency. Say a lies. L-I-E-S, period. Sorry.
Yeah.
They have to be called the lies that they are. The man lies, and he lied again. And how can we possibly put our lives in his hands and have any credibility in what he says? So how can he put anybody at ease? And even when Dr. Fauci, who's probably the most, skilled physician in this area in the world, takes center stage, you still got to wonder how much of it is he holding back, because he knows that if he missteps, he's gone. And already, when he dared to say we didn't have our test kits ready, they weren't. We were doing a fraction of the tests that were necessary and that other countries were doing. And it's just amazing that Trump will override that. And the man.
Yeah, and also, he has zero. Zero. Well, the thing that struck me, and I noticed this maybe a week ago or so, that Trump couldn't get the basic concept that a vaccine is not minimum a year and probably more to develop and test and make sure it's safe. Trump in his Peter Pan dystopian world or lack of world, he took that to mean somehow that we'd have he said we'd have a virus, we'd have a vaccine in 2 months. And Fauci, in a meeting in the White House, being filmed, turned to him and said, true, as I told you before, we might have one in 3 or 4 months, But that doesn't mean it's ready for use. That means it has to be tested, and it has to go through those steps that I told you about, clinical trials, to make sure it's safe. And Trump looked like a third grader who forgot to do his homework or got caught with his pants down. And you know, I can understand Fauci's situation. He has to be firm with an idiot, and the idiot can fire him. And so it's this is something you just can't give to Jared. I think that's Trump's go-to solution for any problem is to put Jared in touch of it, in charge of it. And I don't, at least as I know, I haven't heard Jared's name come up in this, but this is just the all-time measure of corruption and incompetence. And shame on the media for letting it get this way. From day one, when he came down the escalator to announce that he's running for president, the network, the cable news lit up with visions of ratings in their eyes, and Trump played them like a drum, and it's, you know, one of the reporters yesterday, a good one, Yamiche Alcindor, who works for PBS. I don't know if you saw this interaction, Ray, but she asked a question just straight up. And I understand reporters' microphones are being cut off yesterday if their questions are not to Trump's liking. But this Yamiche Alcindor asked, Mr. President, can you explain why the task force on the National Security Council for pandemic preparation was dismantled and not replaced? And Trump's first response was, what a nasty question. It doesn't get any more petty than that. I mean, Trump, Obama had set up a pretty elaborate task force of all the government agencies that would be involved in addressing a pandemic. And 2 years ago, at least, Trump got rid of it, as I suspect the only reason being that it was done by Obama. And Trump being the racist he is, anything with Obama's name on it or fingerprints or just had to go. And I'm sure he's blaming Obama for this. I haven't heard any specific incidents, but he blames everything on Obama. So that is, you know, where are we going to get our information? And we're behind. I was just looking at the different curves on different charts in countries where the corona took off, and it just follows the same pattern. A little at first, and then explosion into, you know, this huge number of infected people, and then it slowly comes down in sort of like step in the like a step ladder, fewer and fewer. But those are just the new infected cases. We're not talking about people already hospitalized or under treatment. So, you know, I was lucky to work with scientists and doctors, and I know how cautious they are and how responsible they are, and they must be just beside themselves to work with such an idiot. Ray, any thoughts?
I would agree with that very much. If you look at the body language and the expressions on the faces of the individuals which back him up from the CDC, it says volumes. It really speaks volumes. I don't think they know from the position they're coming from. I mean, their external context as scientists and physicians is so far from the mentally disturbed fantasy world of this so-called president that to interface them, it's just a disaster. And I watched his debacle of a speech, and I don't know if he was on Adderall or if he's on tranquilizers, but there's something very, very wrong there, and there was a lot written on it. I mean, and he was reading off a teleprompter. So how do you, rhetorical question, but how do you mess up a speech read from a teleprompter? He managed to do it. I'm sure he had no input because they say he does nothing, so it was handed to him. I don't see anything.
I was just going to say, as soon as the camera shut off, Trump made some kind of mocking noise that was caught on a live mic, and as if he was saying, "Oh, thank God that's over with. I couldn't care less. But, you know, the hell with them. Let them eat cake, whatever." I just had flashes of anger more than ever before for people who voted for him, doctors who I know voted for him merely because he was going to cut their taxes. And, shame on them. And I just really hope that people wake up just a little bit. We're not the brightest group of people in this country. We're not the brightest. But, boy, we're getting dumber exponentially, seems, all the time. So I hope people take a message. It matters who sits in that office. And to have somebody who's all of what we've talked about. I mean, he's off playing golf this weekend, I assume. He took his plane and went down to Florida. And that's leadership? I mean, he doesn't. Well, anyway, Ray, I thought I'd give people a sense of what's on the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention website, about what they're telling people to do. And I really recommend that folks go there. It's cdc.gov, cdc.gov. And I'm going to go through things, and we'll sort of toss it back and forth. The very first recommendation the CDC has is that older adults and people who have severe underlying chronic medical conditions like heart or lung disease or diabetes, that's me, seem to be at higher risk for developing more serious complications from the COVID-19 illness. Please consult with your healthcare provider about additional steps you may be able to take to protect yourself. And then the website goes on. Next, they really do a good job in graphically making it easy to read and using easy to understand language. The second point is know how it spreads. And their highlighted point here is the best way to prevent illness is to avoid being exposed to this virus. It's thought to spread mainly from person to person, between people who are in close contact with one another within about 6 feet, and through respiratory droplets produced when an infected person coughs or sneezes. These droplets can land in the mouths or noses of people who are nearby and possibly be inhaled into the lungs. And the steps that CDC says to protect yourself, clean your hands. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, or as long as it takes to sing three chords of Happy Birthday. At least 20 seconds, especially after you've been in a public place or after blowing your nose, coughing, or sneezing. If soap and water are not readily available, use a hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Cover all the surfaces of your hands and rub them together till they feel dry. And finally, in this section, avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands. And then just finally in this opening segment, avoid close contact. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Put distance between yourself and other people if the virus is spreading in your community. This is especially important for people who are at higher risk or getting very sick. So Ray, I that's from the website. What, just in general, anecdotally or whatever, what's the level of concern among your contacts, your peeps?
Well, when I went out for lunch, of course, and before that, I picked up a piece of information that I think you and I discussed briefly. You know, the early facts, quote unquote, on this are so different from what are the facts, quote unquote, now. I mean, it was don't worry about the kids, the reassurance to the nth power. Now, yeah, thank God the kids aren't dying, but they may be the ultimate carriers of this virus because they are exposed to so much in school that they have few, if any, symptoms. And they're, however, virulent in terms of spreading it, they believe now. And these studies are, you know, hot off the presses. So the whole idea, and I've seen it with my school friends, administrators from my time. Well, you know, we don't have a case of it here in upstate. I mean, you know, in the 13 suburban council schools that I happen to be in the middle of. So why should we take our precious 180 days of required school attendance, which have now been waived by Governor Cuomo? Why should we shut down the schools? Well, and a young waitress got so passionate about this, David. It was information I had just read. Don't they care? Don't they give a damn about the individuals that are in that population who are teaching the kids and could so easily, you know, become fatally ill or extremely ill? Because there's a chart now that calibrates it from age 60, which is what is considered elderly, up to 80. And at 80, your chance of being fatally passing within an X number of hours, could be one day, could be 2 days, is a whopping 15%. And, of course, you can play with figures all day. We've heard the cliches up the wazoo. But that's a pretty staggering statistic. And, you know, for Trump in the beginning to try and say this is nothing more than the common flu, and to have Hannity and Limbaugh preaching these lies and spewing this venom. And they had a repeat on it just, I caught on the way home in the car from yesterday. And Limbaugh is just hotter than a pistol because Dr. Fauci came out and actually said something negative about Trump, that we were guilty. And, of course, the follow-up was, do you, to the president, do you feel guilty? And absolutely not. It's almost like we should give him an award for bringing this whole mess on us. The only thing I compare it to analogously is a school district that's complete, or a school itself that's run completely amok, and someone has to come in there. They have to clean it all out. And that's how I feel right now. We're going to have to solve this with the White House, but there are a lot of months here and a lot of lives that could be lost. And my prediction right now from my piece, as you say, is that it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. I got rammed on Facebook because the Albany, this is something regional, and we have national listeners. The Albany, the St. Patrick's Day parade was canceled. Mayor Sheehan reluctantly canceled it. And obviously that's a big deal. Bennington, Vermont, which is only a hop, skip, and a jump from here, they went right ahead and had the biggest parade ever. And I put out a Facebook comment that, it's pretty selfish on your part. Not only do you go ahead and have your parade, but everybody comes from here like a bunch of irresponsible fools, not everybody, but way too many, to buy toilet paper, as they say, and to watch the parade. So if people aren't in lockstep here, if you're going to have a parade that's drivable and you're only going to draw that many more people to a crowd that's apt to spread this virus, violating all the rules, wash your hands, stay away from groups of X number of people, they go right ahead, and half of them are buying toilet paper at a furious rate, and the others are driving to a parade. And they say that, in Italy, the problem they had over there is that people are not responsible. Well, the anecdotal comments I've just made, I think, are damn responsible, irresponsible in terms of their behavior. And I don't know anecdotally, do people frustrate you in their panic or in their lack of it, and they're scoffing at it? Where does your frustration lie, David? You have a great finger on the pulse of what the world's all about.
Well, thanks, but I think I understand less every day. I just think there's a sense of foreboding and confusion. A friend of mine is in an assisted living place, and for weeks they did nothing, and he was sort of curious, and he just sort of shrugged it off or laughed it off. Well, they don't. He said, "I don't think they care really about us." But then Thursday, the hammer came down. They announced these draconian measures, and no visitors of any type, no family, no friends, no nothing. They're basically in a jail. They can't leave. And he's still able to get around, and he's able to get picked up and do some errands and at least get out of a place he really hates. But his son is forcing him to stay there. But anyway, it's just fear of what's next, and how long is this going to go on? If people knew that this was 2 weeks, you might be able to have a handle on it. But there's no handling something where because of the slow response and the inaction at the top, this is going to, as we've said, going to be deeper, last longer than necessary. And I just think there's, as with everything Trump does, everything is just fear-inducing, and I think this is unprecedented. I mean, I just don't know. I've been watching less and less of MSNBC because I distrust after the Mayor Pete treatment, and I just distrust their sense of journalism or objectivity. But Rachel Maddow did have on a doctor last night who was key in the in developing drugs for the AIDS epidemic. You know, he's been assigned to the coronavirus research team, and you know, there's a whole science behind that. It's why every year we have a new flu strain. You know, viruses change, and they're incredibly powerful. You know, they can just wipe out your immune system almost overnight. And this doctor is trying to come up with some, if not a vac, he's not in charge of the vaccine, but he's in charge of finding some way to slow the progress of somebody who's been infected and to disable the power of the virus to duplicate, replicate. I mean, these viruses don't have that power, but what they do is they take over our cells and basically steal the RNA, which is the genetic copying feature, and they leave the cell and power with power and force and might and go on and conquer the rest of the body. And I just at least it's reassuring to see a scientist on TV explaining this is instead of, and he went on and he went on for at least half an hour explaining, and for me that always helps to get information. And I understand from trying to get people to read my books on the brain, Ray, that a lot we're at a very low information level, a low level of understanding. I hate to say it, but you know, is a lot of the stuff I write about, which I think couldn't be simpler at an eighth grade level, is seen as you know, a scientific medical journal. And I said, oh my God, I just didn't realize it was this bad. So I guess I'm a mess. I you know, I'm thinking of myself, what do I have to do? I was going to go to a birthday party today, but I at one of these children's parties event, and I said, no, this does not look good. Kids bouncing around on the bouncy things, and you know, they're kids. They don't, I mean, these are talking 4, 5, 6 year olds. They don't know what to touch, what not to touch. And so I just excuse myself from going. And I know people are going to be upset, but, you know, I have to take care of myself. And I absolutely don't, it's just a feeling of dread and depression. Like, how did it come to this? You know, I've had more fights on Facebook with people I think are not over this, but just in general lately. We're running a presidential election, and it's pretty damn important. And not to get political like Trump, but you know, the Bernie people are now making threats that they're not going to vote or they're not going to vote for Biden. And the level of insanity, childishness, petulance. If I don't get what I want, I'm going home. And Bernie just is feeding this. And, you know, can't happen. Can't happen. Listen, there are four more primaries on Tuesday, and Biden's set to wipe out Bernie. Will he ever have the humility to say, we didn't do it, we didn't get the votes, time to close up, and we all have one goal, to get Trump out? But I have a feeling he won't do it. Thoughts on that, Mary?
Well, James Carville said, I think you need to get this. I love the way he talks. I love his vocabulary. I love his verbiage. Time for this puppy to get out of the race. And he's talking about Bernie Sanders. I mean, there is really no conceivable way that Bernie is going to get the nomination. So why not get out of the way, clear the road, and put all our efforts in getting rid of the orange monster in the White House? what do you think is holding back on Bernie? Is it ego? What's going on there?
Yeah, I think there's. I agree with Hillary what she says. He's mean. He has a mean spirited nature to him. I think it's age. This is it. This is last time, and just the nature of the movement he's built. The kids who show up like crazy at his rallies and threaten this and that, and then don't vote. I mean,
yeah.
Somebody has just got to say, well, Mr. Sanders, where are your votes? If you promise nirvana, if you promise the revolution, where are the signs that it's going to happen? I mean, they don't show up. They're irresponsible. And that maybe I was at one point in my life in that corner of the world. But there's this level of hatred that's just self-fulfilling. I watch too many of these crazy, crazy YouTube-only shows for the left, and you know they've commandeered the word progressive. I consider myself progressive, and I've written to a few. Which is a futile exercise, I know, but you know, I've said, why do you think you own the word progressive, and why does it have to be? I mean, do you not know any history that this is a conservative country, and third party candidacies or movements just don't work. None of them have ever worked. And you got attention, you made people aware. Now go home and cry. Ray, we're coming.
That's sadly the narrative.
Yeah. Well, everyone, I want to, we're going to have to close up shop here. Please take care of yourselves. Visit the CDC website, cdc.gov. Visit our site. We want people to vote. Visit our Project Vote at commongroundbooks.org, commongroundbooks.org. And Ray, good health, and stay well, and we'll be in touch.
All right,
one way or the other.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye, everybody.
Take care.